This podcast is brought to you by the Ethical Society of St. Louis, Being Human Together. The following recording is of a platform address presented to the Ethical Society of St. Louis by Paul Harris, entitled, This Is Not Fake News. It was recorded live on 16 July 2017.
It is my pleasure to introduce Paul Harris. Paul has been on the radio for nearly 40 years, including 18 here in St. Louis, on KTRS and KMOX. He has also been an op-ed contributor to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, a nightly commenter on KMOV TV Channel 4, and a host of the nationally syndicated American Weekend show. He was a featured extra in the movie Mississippi Grind with Ryan Reynolds, Ben Mendelsohn, and Sienna Miller. These days, you can hear him Friday afternoons, 3 until 6, on KTRS, or follow him on his website, harrisonline.com.
Thank you. I love throwing in that movie reference because I was in it for all of 2 minutes. It's an honor to be here with you today, particularly after such beautiful music. Nick, that was really good. And Jim, your remarks were wonderful. And thanks to the rest of you for coming in on a day when, frankly, we would all rather be outside. You know you're a St. Louisan when it's 90 degrees and you say, boy, I'm glad the heat wave broke. 15 to 20 years ago, my inbox was regularly filled with emails that people had forwarded to everyone on their contact list. We all got these. The emails contained stories or links to stories about how a cursed mummy had caused the sinking of the Titanic, or how a guy named John Hanson was really the first president of the United States, or that during wartime the seal of the president of the United States is modified so the eagle's head faces the opposite direction, or that the average woman swallows 6 pounds of lipstick in her lifetime. Don't tell those stories to anybody else because they're all false. But because somebody they knew had forwarded it to them, the recipients merely kept the game of operator going by passing it along to everyone they knew, which in many cases included me. And I was usually the end of the line because I never forwarded those to anybody else. I didn't have an email chain. I had Snopes. Snopes is the Urban Legends reference page. It was run by Barbara and David Mickelson, a couple in San Francisco, California, who had taken it upon themselves to research these oddball stories to see if they could be verified. The vast majority of the time, the Mickelsons ended up debunking these stories. Since I relied upon Snopes so much, because I was getting so many of these emails, I invited Barbara to make regular appearances on my show, and it became incredibly popular. Unfortunately, it only made more emails come in. People wanted to know, is this true? Is this true? What about this one? Well, all these years later, the Mickelsons are now divorced, but David and a staff of researchers continue to investigate all sorts of stories and claims, and their work has not gotten any less challenging. I continue to use Snopes as a reference source. Those email chains don't exist anymore, but now social media has taken over, in particular Facebook. Made it even easier to spread rumors and bogus stories, or as they're called now, fake news. I don't like that phrase, fake news, because there's nothing wrong with fake news. Anybody who's read The Onion knows that made-up headlines and stories can be funny. I looked at The Onion just this week, and they had stories like, millions of policy proposals spill into the sea as a Brookings Institution think tanker runs aground of the Crimea coast. Hellman's introduces new meat on the bottom mayonnaise cups. A man is keeping a running total of how many people in the gym are in worse shape than him. Or my favorite for this week, Queen Elizabeth kicks off Wimbledon by serving the ceremonial first ace of the tournament. And speaking of Wimbledon, please don't say anything about what happened this morning. We recorded it and my wife will kill you. We haven't watched it yet. Those headlines, those fake news headlines, are fine because the only agenda of the people who wrote them is to make you laugh, which they do. The problem comes when bogus news stories are created by people whose agenda is more nefarious. That can be a business trying to spin a negative report about its products into something positive. It can be a defense lawyer offering up another explanation for the details of the crime their client is charged with. It can be stories distributed with the sole purpose of affecting the outcome of an election. Or it can be a spokesperson going on television and arguing in favor of alternative facts. I wince when I hear that phrase, alternative facts, because I'm reminded of what's said by scientists about alternative medicine, and that is, if alternative medicine really worked, we would call it medicine. The same is true for facts. If they're not true, they are not facts. Facts don't change based on your opinion. Just because you don't agree with something doesn't mean it's not true. For instance, whenever I get on my scale and look down at the number, I can't believe it, but that doesn't mean that's not my weight. Speaking of alternative medicine, let's talk about the bogus news produced by some promoters of that pseudoscience. People like Dr. Oz, whose claims about bogus weight loss products got him a scolding by Senator Claire McCaskill during a congressional hearing. Or Dr. Sameer Chochoa, I know you've never heard of this guy, and you should be happy about that. This guy is going around claiming he developed an AIDS cure from the milk of arthritic goats. Of course, he has no supporting evidence to back up his claims. Now, while we're talking about this sort of nonsense, let's also talk about Gwyneth Paltrow, who has a website called Goop, which is actually a pretty good title for the stuff she puts on there. On that website, she pushes nonsense like $66 jade eggs that women should put in their vaginas to be healthier. She also told women to steam that part of their body to make it cleaner. Every doctor who heard that made that sound, and so did most of the women. Goop also claims that crystals make you healthier by transforming your energy, suggests you get colonics and cleanses regularly, and promotes homeopathic products. None of those claims have any valid evidence to back them up or any basis in science, and yet Paltrow and her fellow goopsters keep publishing this crap, and her audience not only eats it up, but they spend millions on the bogus products that she sells on the site. If you want to know more about this, you should read a book by a guy by the name of Tim Caulfield called Is Gwyneth Paltrow Wrong About Everything? Spoiler alert, yes. That sort of lying is truly dangerous because it causes people to rely on pseudoscience instead of real science when making important health decisions. Take the anti-vaccination movement, whose entire argument is based on long debunked research that claimed that vaccines cause autism. The original claims were made by a guy who used to be a doctor until they took that title away by the name of Andrew Wakefield, and were based on data he manipulated and faked to get the result he wanted. They have been disproven time and time again, and yet too many people in this country and elsewhere are fearful that giving their kids their shots at the right age will cause them harm, again, despite no evidence. The more people who believe that garbage, the greater the risk to herd immunity, which can only be achieved if everyone has been vaccinated. In communities with large numbers of anti-vaxxers, we've seen outbreaks of measles and chickenpox and other diseases that could be obliterated by science if everybody just went along. But you need the public to get with the program, and some people just won't. A couple of years ago, I saw an anti-vaccination advocate on TV try to bolster her argument by claiming that the pharmaceutical companies that make vaccines aren't worth our trust because, quote, do you know that the companies that make these vaccines have made over $40 billion from them? My wife wasn't home at the time, but if she was, she would have heard me screaming at the television, good! I'm sure that the people who make brakes for cars have made a lot of money, too, but that's not a reason to let your kid in a car without brakes. It is that kind of fear-mongering and ignoring the facts and promoting uncertainty and disbelief in proven medicine that leads to sickness and, in some cases, the death of small children. And I'm hard-pressed to think of anything more evil. Now, let's differentiate between bogus news, which I prefer to call it, and mistakes. If I get something wrong on my radio show, rarely happens, except every week, I know it pretty quickly because the phones light up. When I started doing radio in the 1970s, there was no internet, so I actually relied on my listenership to keep me honest, and I still do to some extent. If my colleagues in the studio don't catch my error, and they will, the listeners will back them up, and if necessary, we'll Google it to see who's right. Frankly, I'm happy to be caught making a mistake because I get to learn something. But mistakes aren't horrible. You wouldn't condemn the entire restaurant industry because your waiter brought you a Diet Coke when you asked for a regular Coke. And if they're any good at their job, they'd apologize and pour out the wrong beverage and bring you the right one. Well, like that waiter or any other person or organization, news outlets occasionally get something wrong. But the mark of any reputable business is whether they admit it and try to correct it. For instance, CNN did that last month when it went with a single-sourced story about a member of Donald Trump's transition team meeting with an executive of a Russian investment fund before Trump took office. When they were challenged on the story, CNN investigated and realized it was wrong, then retracted it, apologized, and three staff members resigned. That's not fake news. It's a bad job of reporting, and the correction was the right thing to do. On the other hand, what was the last time you heard Trump or his spokesperson or anybody in his administration admit that they were wrong about anything and apologize? We should apply the same standard to both. Which leads me to invoke another word that can be applied to so much of what is wrongly called fake news. And that word is lie. I am a skeptical person by nature. My default to most of the things I hear is that if the person offering them up can't provide some proof of their claim, I assume they're lying until I see evidence. As the great Carl Sagan said, extraordinary claims require extraordinary proof. For instance, if you tell me that you can fly just by flapping your arms, I'm not buying it. But if you want, we can go up to the roof and you can take one more step than me at the edge and we'll see if you're right or wrong. Are you telling the truth or are you lying? Now, it's impossible to get that kind of validation from every claim or story that we hear. And that is where the reputation of the source comes into play. Unfortunately, we live in an age of so much information and so much misdirection that everyone has developed their thoughts on which news outlets they believe or disbelieve. If you're a Fox News Channel stalwart, you're unlikely to consider MSNBC or the New York Times a valid source of news, and the reverse is certainly true. So how can you know when a news story is real? First, ask yourself if other reputable news organizations are covering the story as factual. There tends to be truth in numbers. And I don't mean the number of Twitter comments on a story. I mean the number of mainstream news outlets, however you define that, that have jumped on it. Look for the verification that I mentioned at the beginning while I was discussing Snopes. In other words, when you see something mentioned in your Facebook news feed with a link to a news source you have never heard of, be skeptical about its veracity until you see it picked up by one that you do know. And don't forward it to other people. Facebook and the other social media outlets present a startling new front in the distribution of bogus news stories designed to change your mind. In the Time magazine issue of May 29th, there was a story by Massimo Calabrese about this, which discussed how you voluntarily hand over a treasure trove of information about yourself online, and that data can then be exploited to target stories to influence you. There are algorithms that determine your hot-button issues and identify those most susceptible to suggestion, and then propagandists craft messages to steer you towards believing things that aren't true in the hopes of altering your behavior. And the Russians are really good at this. According to Calabrese, quote, the Russians target you and see what you like and what you click on and see if you're sympathetic or you're not sympathetic. And then in one case last year, a Russian soldier based in Ukraine successfully infiltrated a U.S. social media group by pretending to be a 42-year-old housewife and weighing in on political debates with specially tailored messages. In another case, Russia created a fake Facebook account to spread stories on political issues like refugee resettlement, and they sent that to targeted reporters that they believed were susceptible to influence. And you can see if you can get them to believe the story, they'll tell the story, and it's like that old shampoo commercial, two people and so on and so on. Stories with a blatant agenda went viral during last year's election, of course. Remember the one about Hillary Clinton and her aides running a pedophile ring in the basement of a Washington, D.C. pizza parlor? You're laughing, but according to Wikipedia, well, let me just read this to you. This is the Wikipedia version of that story. On October 30th, 2016, a reputed white supremacist Twitter account claimed the New York City Police Department, which was searching emails found on Anthony Weiner's laptop as part of an investigation into his sexting scandals, had discovered the existence of a pedophilia ring linked to members of the Democratic Party. The theory also proposed that the ring was a meeting ground for satanic ritual abuse. That theory got posted on a message board called Godlike Productions, and the following day, it was repeated on Your Newswire, citing a 4chan post from earlier that year, and then it was spread by and elaborated on by other fake news websites, including Subject Politics, which falsely claimed the New York Police Department had raided Hillary Clinton's property. Then a website called Conservative Daily Post ran a headline falsely stating that the FBI had confirmed that story. Then there was a post on Reddit about the story, which alleged the involvement of a D.C. pizza place called Comet Ping Pong, and that was picked up by the bogus news website InfoWars and promoted by several other alt-right activists. And as the story spread, Comet Ping Pong, which had done absolutely nothing wrong, got hundreds of threats from people who believed this conspiracy theory. Then on December 4th, 2016, a guy from North Carolina named Edgar Welch went to D.C. with a gun, a rifle, and fired it 3 times inside Comet Ping Pong. Fortunately, nobody was hit, but he did get the walls and a desk and a door. And after police responded, Welch said he had planned to investigate the conspiracy theory himself. After finding no evidence that underage children were being held in the restaurant, Welch surrendered and was arrested and told police he had read about the child sex slave story online and wanted to see for himself if it was true. But even after discovering it wasn't, he would not dismiss the story. Classic mark of conspiracy theorists. And by the way, other conspiracy theorists claimed that Welch's shooting was a false flag attack that had been staged to discredit the original stories, which they still believed, even though there wasn't a shred of evidence that that was true. I remind you of this story because it's important to understand how harmful bogus stories can be when they are tied to an agenda, political or otherwise. And when it comes to politics, we have an entire industry in this country geared to promote these stories as factual. Fox News Channel, Rush Limbaugh, and other right-wing talk radio hosts, InfoWars, etc., spread lies and create new ones almost every day. By repeating claims from each other, these outlets create a bubble of misinformation that their viewers and listeners and readers buy into completely. And the fact that the stories aren't reported by other more mainstream outlets only confirms the veracity in their minds. Just like those conspiracy theorists I was just talking about. They're covering it up. We're the only ones who know the truth. Gesundheit. Because they're on TV, or on the radio, or in a newspaper, or in the White House, or Congress, or preaching in a church, or on a website, they are considered authority figures, and thus they have the aura of validity to their consumers. They repeatedly claim, we would never lie to you like they would, they being anyone on the opposite side of whatever issue you care to choose. How insane have Americans become in this regard? Just a couple of weeks ago, on July 4th, NPR tweeted the entire text of the Declaration of Independence, 113 posts, 140 characters long. When it got to the part about the colony's complaints about England's George III, plenty of Trump supporters took offense, thinking NPR was attacking their king, with lines like, he has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers. Okay, I can see the confusion on that one. And a prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. Forget the fact that those words were written by Thomas Jefferson about the English sovereign 241 years ago. It sounded a little bit too much like an attack on the current ego-in-chief, who can never be criticized in the eyes of his believers. So they lit up Twitter in rage about this perceived slight. Now, what drives me crazy is when news outlets that were once considered respectable fall for nonsense just because it comes out of the mouth of the President of the United States or thumbs, whatever. Remember when Trump said that James Comey had better hope that there weren't tapes of the conversations they'd had? CNN went into hyper-ballistic overdrive with panels of pundits arguing whether that meant that Trump had put in a secret taping system in the Oval Office like Richard Nixon once had. CNN does this whenever Trump tweets anything. I turned it on one day last month, and I thought they had brought back the game show Hollywood Squares because I saw a tic-tac-toe board of nine people. No, this was just a pundit class arguing with each other and over each other. There was no Paul Lind. Should have been my first clue. That's where much of the bogus news goes to, a new level. It's not bad enough that the original source of the story is the country's liar-in-chief, but then the opinion class takes over and runs with it, and that's no better than those Reddit users who fell for Pizzagate, in my opinion. Instead of hearing what Van Jones or Jeffrey Lord think about the breaking news story of the day, and by the way, when I'm in charge, I am banning the use of that phrase because they've broken it. If something happened hours ago, by definition, it is not breaking news. Instead of hearing these pundits talking, I would rather hear a reporter going more in-depth with his or her questions and pressing for specifics. I really think we have too little of this now. For instance, when Trump says, I'm hearing, or people are saying, if I'm in that room, I stop him and I say, who are you hearing that from? Give me some names. What happened to who, what, when, where, why, and how? And if he won't, then dismiss those claims as fake. Remember what I said before about assuming it's a lie. And when he rails about reporters using fake sources, remind him that in the 80s and 90s, he called up reporters to boast about himself by using the fake names John Miller and John Barron. Fake source? You'll notice that when Trump refers to the failing New York Times or the failing CNN or the unfunny Saturday Night Live, he's not basing that on any facts. The ratings for all those cable news outlets, including CNN, are higher than they've been in a long time. The New York Times and other newspapers have seen their subscriptions soar, especially the digital ones. Saturday Night Live, and particularly Stephen Colbert, have achieved their highest ratings in years, all by focusing on Trump and his fellow Keystone cops in the White House. Those outlets are far from failing. Too much of what passes for political news is a distraction from things that really matter. Katrina Vandenhoevel wrote an op-ed recently on the media's malpractice on this topic. She wrote, quote, one of the great ironies of the political moment is that President Trump's sworn enemy has become, if not exactly an ally, an enabler of his agenda. For all of Trump's griping about fake news, the mainstream media's prevailing focus on palace intrigue and White House scandals has come at the expense of substantive policy coverage, allowing Trump and the Republican Party to advance harmful, hugely unpopular policies without the scrutiny they deserve. At the same time, the wall-to-wall coverage of Attorney General Jeff Sessions' bumbling testimony before the Senate Intelligence Committee was just the latest example of the media's myopic obsession with all things Russia. While the investigations into his campaign and his possible obstruction of justice are clearly newsworthy, they've denied oxygen to other issues that have a far greater impact on Americans' daily lives, unquote. But I want to stress again, modern-day bogus news is not all about politics. On May 18th, Amanda Hess wrote a piece in the New York Times about content discovery solutions. I have no idea what that means. Here's what it means. Companies that specialize in creating clickbait for websites. I'll quote Amanda Hess. These companies occupy real estate at the margins of websites like CNN, Politico, and TMZ, and fill them with links to content landfills with names like Buzz Hut, College Freaks, with a Z so you know it's funny, Dogsome, and Time's Off. The links are often ads for stuff like bed sheets and dental implants that are disguised as news articles or else barrel-scraping clickbait that tempts the reader towards still more ads. And because the thumbnails and headlines are written by the individual advertisers themselves, they range in caliber from straightforward sales pitches to gross body stuff. And they appear under the banner of related content, or you may also like, or their most accurate descriptor, around the web. Yeah, technically. Hess actually mentioned some of the headlines designed to get you to click through. Sandra Bullock's son used to be adorable, but today he looks insane. If you clicked on that, you would go through 70 pages, none of which had a single photo of Sandra Bullock's son. All full of ads. 18 celebrities you didn't know committed suicide. That was teased with a picture of Friends star David Schwimmer, who not only didn't commit suicide, he's not even dead. 33 Amish facts that'll make your skin crawl. 30 things the ocean is hiding from you. And the unusual link between your toes and Alzheimer's. People do click on these. They sound kind of like those Onion headlines I was talking about before, but without the humor. Now, I'll admit that it actually takes a little bit of willpower not to click on teases like that. You're all thinking I want to go look up the one about the Amish, aren't you? Remember when, if you wanted to see stuff like that, you had to buy the Weekly World News in front of other people at the supermarket? You kind of try to slip it into your basket as quickly as you can. I'm buying this for a friend. You don't have to do that at home now. You just do it on your laptop. And by the way, tabloids like the Weekly World News are still very popular. They have lots and lots of bogus news stories about UFOs that destroyed our nuclear weapons and Kardashian drug rings and Elvis sightings and new information about the deaths of JonBenet Ramsey or Natalie Wood or Michael Jackson or pick one. And by the way, those are real things that were all in those tabloids in the last week, and I'm embarrassed I know that. But it's not just the tabloids that try to entice you with shocking teases. For example, last week I found a story in the Daily Beast, a website I like, but they had a headline that said, "How U.S. Marines are using ESP to weaponize intuition." And below it was the subheadline, "The Daily Beast has obtained, via the Freedom of Information Act, the Office of Naval Research's Sense-Making Training Manual, a guide for extrasensory perception." That's what it said at the top of the article. I read the article. The article didn't say that. You had to go 12 paragraphs down to find out that the headline was wrong. And then there was a quote from Gary Klein, who's worked on the Navy's sense-making project, who says, "The sense-making manual isn't asking Marines to somehow evolve psychic powers. It encourages them to be mindful of their surroundings, trust their instincts, and construct narratives to explain other people's behavior." He says, quote, "I was worried about how this could be viewed in a sensational way with spidey sense or something that sounds like ESP or something paranormal. That's not what the military is interested in. I was relieved to hear that my tax dollars weren't going to paranormal nonsense, but I was disappointed in the Daily Beast for acting like they were." Now, that's very different than the nonsense promised in the headline. But I think a lot of people who were just browsing through the Daily Beast that day didn't read the article and saw the paranormal stuff and bought it. Now, let's get to how you avoid this avalanche of bogus information. Believe it or not, I recommend you consume less of it. I don't mean simply not falling for the clickbait I just mentioned. I mean watching, listening, and reading fewer information sources every day. Let's face it, there are only a small quantity of things that happen in the world every day that actually interest you. Part of that number is made up of pictures on Facebook of your friends' babies, pets, and meals. Another part is the major news stories of the day, which you can have summarized in 90 seconds by Charlie Rose on CBS This Morning, or an hourly radio newscast does a pretty good job in 120 seconds. You'll get the basic info you need to know. Then you have to admit that the rest of that stuff is something you're consuming because you're bored, or you're trying to kill time at work, or because you can't overcome your addiction to that phone that's seemingly in your hand 12 hours a day. I give you that advice because it's exactly what I have done. I used to have a daily radio show for a lot of years. To do that show, I had to wake up every morning and say, what am I going to talk about today? And to figure that out, I had to jump into the information ocean repeatedly to catch whatever would make an interesting talking point for that day's show. Now that I'm only on once a week, doing a show that's dedicated to everything but the hard news of the day. I have pulled back dramatically on my news fetish. I am not an information Luddite. I'm not encouraging you to become one either. But I am happy to find other things to do with my time than bathing my brain in the fetid backwash that exists in our information overload. And I strongly suggest you cleanse yourself of it too. Just don't buy your cleanse from Gwyneth Paltrow. Thank you very much.